This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Coming up on the show today, we'll get a preview of On Point, one of the new shows coming to WVXU next month. And we'll hear about plans for Doris Day Day this week. But first, a cybersecurity breach at Equifax, one of the three major credit bureaus, has compromised the personal data of about 143 million Americans, almost half the country. The company says the cyber thieves were able to steal social security numbers, birth dates, and addresses for a massive number of people. Here to discuss the Equifax hack and steps you can take to protect yourself are Chris Nysack, co-director of research at the University of Cincinnati Economics Center, Jane Hills Shea, who leads Frost Brown Todd's privacy and information security practice, and Sandra Guile with the Cincinnati BBB. Were you caught up in this, and what steps have you taken? Join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Jane, Chris, and Sandra, thank you for being here this afternoon.
Thank you for having us.
Our pleasure. Thank
you. So, Chris, what happened to cause this? I mean, how were the cyber thieves able to get into Equifax's system?
Right. So, Equifax had an error in some of their online programs that was resolved via a patch earlier this year, and Equifax failed to update their software. So they left this kind of gaping vulnerability, and hackers were able to take advantage of it, gain access to the web portal, and download about 143 million individuals' public identifiable information, and also a few hundred thousand credit card numbers.
Yeah, so it was about 200,000 from what I've heard.
And then, I saw estimates for individuals in Canada up to 100,000 people, and then across Europe, another few million. So it's not just in the U.S.
So when you talk about patching, they were supposed to put a patch on a vulnerability in their software, and they didn't do it. Is that what happened?
It's like when your phone has that annoying please update status all the time. Yeah, it's the same thing. They needed to update the software.
How much legal liability Do they stand to face here, Jane?
Oh, the estimates for in 2016 for cost for a data breach is in the neighborhood of about $230 per record. So if you just want to do the math, there's a lot. I mean, and what that takes into account are things the simple things that we've seen them do thus far, the whole notification, setting up the 800 number. It includes the cost of the data breach insurance, in this case, the Trusted ID Premier that Equifax is offering. Most companies, of course, have to pay for this. In the case of Equifax, this is a service that they themselves market that they are now providing at no cost to the consumer. So that's going to be a hit to their bottom line because they're providing this. That figure also includes things like attorney's fees and the costs of notification. So they had to set up the entire separate website. And typically, it's the liability from litigation, class action lawsuits that will follow. There have already been several that have been filed for their failure to exercise appropriate data security measures.
And then, Sandra, you also mentioned that they're going to be giving away the Trust ID Premier services, but correct me if I'm wrong, that's only for 1 year. And
that's
when you sign up
year.
For it, it's an auto-renewing license. So in the end, this actually may generate revenue or additional profits.
Right. They're supposed to say, they would need your credit card information to renew it. So at the end of the year, they would send out an email saying, do you want to continue with this? And you would have to take steps to enroll. But yes, it's conceivable that they could end up, and that they've been criticized for using their own product in response to this instead of, I'm not sure consumer confidence in Equifax
is going to be great
right
be
now.
There, yeah.
And, yeah.
And Jane, I'm glad you said that because from a Better Business Bureau standpoint, that is going to completely obliterate consumer confidence in that kind of practice. With this big of a breach, obviously businesses and consumers are both questioning what is being done with my data. It's not just today, but it's going to be 6 months down the road. It's going to be 12 months down the road. It's 18 months down the road. It's going to impact how I look for a job, how employers are going to look at me, because if I was breached and somebody uses my identity, they open up credit cards, cell phones, loans and maybe they default on those payments, that affects my credit score.
Absolutely.
So how do I defend myself?
It's been somewhat surprising to me to understand the lack of awareness of the general public in what these three major credit reporting agencies do with our information and their use of the reports and the entire – it's so embedded in the U.S. economy, the credit reports are, and also called consumer reports because they're – and maybe that's the better term for them because they're used for so many things besides applying for credit. Anytime you apply for a job, the employer pulls a report. Anytime you open a cell phone account, anytime you apply for insurance. Mm-hmm. You know, just about any financial transaction or transaction having a financial impact will precipitate the other side pulling your report.
Is there any way that I, as a consumer, can say, I don't want you to do that?
Not if you want that insurance.
Okay.
Or not if you want that job.
Or that job.
You know, mm-hmm. And plus, I mean, from an employer standpoint, too, as a business, you have to be looking at your own internal setup because you have to look at your third-party administrator saying, are you keeping my employees' information safe? Mm-hmm. And then you have to turn an internal eye to your employees. Are you clicking on something you shouldn't be? Are you surfing on something that you shouldn't be either?
Yeah, and I should also mention that there's a federal law that regulates these organizations mm-hmm. called the Fair Credit Reporting Act. And it is a consumer protection law. It was enacted in 1970. It's been amended multiple times since then. It's the law that actually gives, not all consumer protection laws gives an individual a private right of action, but this law does, which enables the possibility of class action lawsuits, which is where you can really have the mass in order to make an impact and finance the actual litigation itself.
And I think it's important to note just generally that the big three are not in any way governmental agencies.
Right.
They're for-profit organizations.
Right.
And they are not the only credit reporting agencies either.
Right.
There are a lot of other organizations under the definition of consumer report. If you prepare a report using consumer information for third party, that is a consumer report, and that makes you a consumer reporting agency under the Act.
I guess what concerns me a lot, Sandra, is that if this can happen to Equifax, could it happen to anybody? Could it happen to TransUnion? Could it happen to Experian, the other big credit reporting agencies?
It can happen to the fraud protection agencies that we keep hearing about these services. Anybody who has your data in hand that you give your date of birth, your driver's license, your social security number, anybody that you give your information to and you're trusting them to protect it, they are just as vulnerable as anyone else.
And so, for example, another breach, Equifax from I think it was 2007 to 2013, they were selling records of individuals to a man located in Vietnam. And then he was selling those records on the black market. Mm-hmm. So they were performing transactions with people's personal identifiable information under the guise that he was another reporting or credit agency. So it's not that these hacks are all incredibly sophisticated. That was just an example of social engineering where somebody was able to impersonate another entity and have business transactions occur on that.
And with this most recent hack, which occurred somewhere between May and July, as best they know, how does a person know if they were caught up in that hack? Is there any way to know for sure?
Assume you are is the safest way to
Exactly.
Right. You can you can go to EquifaxSecurity2017.com and there's a link there, MI Impact, which you can click on and enter the last six digits of your social and your last name and you will be told yes, your information was impacted or no, it wasn't. So far I've heard of no one who has done that whose information was not impacted. And there are some kind of ambiguous responses that have come out of that. So it's best to assume that you have been impacted.
And I would caution with that is I would certainly type that directly into the URL. Don't rely on anything that is sent to you with that link in there because scammers have figured out a way to develop a site that uses that particular link and redirect it so they can collect your information from there.
So right. Go directly to their website and do it. Don't use the any link that might be sent to you.
It goes back to social engineering.
There's actually a hacker, and he's a white hat hacker, so he does penetration testing and he hacks for, I guess, good. Mm-hmm. But he made a website that was very similar to Equifax Security 2017, except for he switched two words around.
Yep.
And and it was actually tweeted out by Experian. They tweeted out the wrong URL 8 times.
Oh my goodness!
So it's
there's a lot of confusion in this. It sounds like, Chris.
Yeah, and when you've got that amount of information that is being released by an agency that's been affected in such a negative PR environment, there is a possibility of wrong information being sent out.
Mm-hmm. And the Equifax Security 2017 website's hosted on WordPress, which is not known for its security acumen to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And why Equifax didn't use their own domain and set up a subdomain, so security2017.equifax.com, that would have been a much better way to do it, because then you're staying on your own native home domain instead of a super long URL that's confusing and the website seems like it's fraudulent anyway.
And there's also, I just read something this morning about some confusion arising out of, if you do sign up for the Trusted ID Premier, you get they confirm it with an email, and they send a link. They want you to click on a link within the email, which is not at all like the email sender, and also is a brand new URL. So that means it's getting caught up in spam filters. So, I mean, you might want to talk briefly about how you can hover your mouse over a link to determine exactly who the sender is.
Right. Don't click, but hover.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that does what, Chris?
It shows you what the true destination of that link is. So often you'll receive an email from maybe a company you follow, and it'll say, click here, where the word here is in blue because it's a hyperlink. You can always just put your mouse over the blue link, and it'll show you where the true destination of that link is. So if you would put EquifaxSecurities2017.com in, that could be a fraudulent site, but it looks similar enough that people may go to it. So just be very cautious when you're going to anything that you're not typing in the browser yourself, mm-hmm. as Sandra said.
Exactly.
And the question, of course, is how do you deal with all this? It's also confusing. We'll talk some more about that when we come back from the break. You can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney, and here to discuss the Equifax data breach and steps you can take to protect yourself are Chris Nysack from the University of Cincinnati Economics Center, Jane Hills-Shea, who leads Frost Brown Todd's privacy and information security practice, and Sandra Guile with the Cincinnati BBB. And also joining us now is Bill Staler, who's CEO of Lifespan, a local nonprofit that offers financial counseling and education. And Bill, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
Would you agree with the idea that since this involved 143 million people, you're better off just assuming and being better off safe than sorry that your data was compromised by this?
Oh, absolutely. When you consider that anybody 18 probably doesn't have any information out there, this is just the adult population. That's pretty much everybody. I heard that about 5.5 million Ohioans were impacted by mm-hmm. this. So this is definitely the big one.
Yeah. What kind of advice are you giving as far as dealing with this? What's the first step you say people should take?
Well, and this information is very widely available. I think the media has done a really good job in getting this out. But certainly the first thing that you want to do is take some type of action on your credit file. You can do that by either putting a credit freeze or what's called a fraud alert. A credit freeze freezes your account, so nothing can get in and out. It's a very significant step to take. I certainly wouldn't recommend it if you're thinking about making a purchase that involves a loan of any kind, because your account is frozen, so there's really nothing that can get in or out. A fraud alert, on the other hand, simply tells a potential lender that you suspect that there's been fraudulent activity in your account, that your identity has been stolen, extra steps to make sure that the person that's applying is, in fact, the person whose file it is. I was a little disappointed with Equifax because I think it was only just a few days ago that they waived the fee for credit fees in Ohio. I think it's $5 to put a credit freeze on your account. Not that that's a huge amount, but I just was very surprised that they wouldn't even waive that. So those are the two things probably that should be done first. You know, certainly check your credit report through annualcreditreport.com. Monitor your bank accounts. Monitor your credit card statements. I know there's some thinking that some of this data might be out and be used for tax fraudulent tax returns. So if you can file your tax return early, you should. And I think it's important that people be aware of things that you're not getting, as well as things that you're getting that look bad. I know sometimes scammers will change the address on bank statements and credit card accounts and things like that. So if you're expecting a statement on some of your financial records and you're not getting it, that could be a red flag as well.
Yeah. Sandra, is it possible in a lot of cases that they're going to sit on this information
and use it
at a later date? So even if nothing happens to you initially, you shouldn't say, oh, I'm fine.
Oh, absolutely. They're sitting on a treasure trove of information. I mean, this is the perfect data storm for them because they've just collected all of this information and they can do one of two things. They're going to buy, sell, and trade on the dark web with other partners in crime to commit additional fraud or open up additional accounts depending on the quality of the information they have, or they're going to then go on a phishing spree to get additional information if they don't have those components, and that's sending out phishing emails. They could make phone calls saying, this is somebody from Experian, and I'm calling to verify your account, and I need additional information. And they'll try to pull, maybe they didn't get the complete social security number or a phone or address or date of birth or something like that. And they'll get that information from people or even businesses.
So a fraud alert or a freeze, or can you put both on the account at the same time? Is that possible?
Yes, they recommend. It's better to go ahead and enroll in the trusted Premier ID first before you put the security freeze on, because they need to pull the reports from the other two agencies periodically in order to monitor your credit. But the order in which you do it is the credit monitoring first, and then the security freeze or the fraud alert. I would also point out, to follow up on what Bill said, is that the fraud alerts are good for 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
So every 90 days, you would need to renew that.
Mm-hmm. Is there any cost associated with fraud alert?
I'm not aware of any cost.
I don't believe there's a cost to it. I know with the freeze, too, you have to report to all three agencies.
Right.
And it should be further clarified that whoever's listening out there, that does not mean you cannot use your credit cards that you already have open. You can still use them. Just monitor your accounts closely.
Right.
The other thing I would add, too, is that if there's anybody out there who's kind of like locked up and frozen because they're not quite sure what to do, first of all, remain calm. And go through all of your online accounts and change all of your passwords, because they're going to try to go in and go for more information.
Also, with respect to the credit freeze, it is possible to lift that freeze and then reapply it, which I personally have done. I had the freeze on and then wanted to apply for credit, so I went through the process to lift. I found out which of the agencies my bank was using, so I only had to lift it on the one. And then reapplied it.
And it's just $5 every time you switch on and off.
Right.
Yep.
Let's talk to Robert, who joins us now. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, thank you.
I wanted to ask, due to previous breaches, I've had my credit frozen for a long time. And I was just wondering if that freeze would have prevented the current Equifax breach from becoming public with the people that already broke in. Would I have been protected yet?
I would assume, and that this may be incorrect, but I would assume that you are not protected.
You're not protect your information would have been included in
the breach.
The breach,
right.
But
right.
You are with the fact that you have the freeze on your account. They can't use it because
right.
they can't.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty much locked down.
Right.
But your information may be out there amongst the other mm-hmm. 143 million.
They could use it for tax. Filing a false tax return. Right. For example.
And this is part of the issue with these big three operating as non-governmental organizations is their goal is to make profit. They're for-profit companies, private entities, and we as consumers really have no ability to operate outside of their existence. They're embedded in our economy. They are the way in which we receive all loans, all sources of credit, student loans, auto loans, everything like that, as well as jobs, insurance. Mm-hmm. And we have no ability to be mindful of their errors.
Activity,
yep.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, we are not their customers.
Right.
Right.
So, Bill, it sounds like vigilance is the key word here.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So what about businesses, Sandra? Should they be concerned about this too?
Absolutely. Businesses, like I mentioned before, should be going back through and see if they've got a cybersecurity plan in place, if their employees are properly trained on what to look for in fraudulent activity. Businesses should contact their third-party administrators when it comes to administering health insurance plans, 401k plans, because obviously, especially in the your Medicare or Medicaid plans are tied to that Social Security number, at least till next spring. And make sure that everybody is fully aware of what they need to look for as far as inaccurate activity, unusual account activity, and that kind of thing. And we do have some tools that are available that businesses can learn from us on how to look for that kind of stuff.
And Bill, we've got about 30 seconds left. What about people who don't have online access or aren't tech savvy? Is there a way for them to deal with this?
Well, Equifax has set up a toll-free number especially for this breach. Which is 866-447-7559, and people can use that. Now, I've not personally tried to use it. I have no idea how effective it is, but you can certainly do that.
And Sandra, real quickly, you've got an event coming up for
yes.
business owners on this.
Tomorrow night at 4 o'clock, Unhackable at UC Blue Ash, 9555 Plainfield Road. Please join us.
Well, Chris, Jane, Sandra, and Bill, thanks for joining us this afternoon. Chris Nysack from the University of Cincinnati Economics Center, Jane Hill Shea with Frost Brown Todd, Sandra Guile with the Cincinnati BBB, and Bill Staler, who's CEO of Lifespan.